Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Sometimes an on-screen romance can lead to an off-screen showmance.
How romantic.
Join former Glee stars and best friends Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz as they interview other dynamic duos and share stories about the highs and lows of friendship.
She's my best friend. I love you.
Right here on Showmance with Kevin and Jenna.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Showmance. Welcome back, or welcome if it's your first time.
Hey.
You're in for a real treat. I'm Kevin McHale.
I'm Jenna Ushkowitz, and we are here hanging
to talk about all things life, friendship, relationships, whatever the hell we feel like, actually.
Love, friendship.
Love. Yeah.
Happiness.
It's really just about
rainbows.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
If you don't know what showmance means, showmance means a relationship between two people who have met doing a show, right?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Which is basically how Jenna and I met.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's what this is all about.
That's
it's all about friendship
doing.
And how you make it work. The balance of
how do we make it work?
I don't know. Jenna, how did you make this week work?
This week was, this week was tough. Every morning was like up at 7, you know, till the end of the day. Like there was no like in between. I'm getting redoing my house apartment. So like furniture, waiting for deliveries, which is always like freaking me out because I'm a control freak and what if the delivery doesn't come on the day that I've planned, you know, that
kind
of
stuff. And they give you
like
this gigantic window that you have to wait around for hours.
Yeah. And luckily, like the places I've gotten from are like 10:30 to 12:30. But of course, they come at like 12:25 and I'm like, they're not coming. And then I have to reschedule it for the next day. But I've already scheduled my whole day. So what I have to do, I have to reschedule everything for that day. Horrifying.
Right. And I've been getting up at like 10:30 or 11.
God. I can't even sleep in that late anymore.
No, it sucks because I run out of time to do everything I need to do.
The days get
shorter. Because, like, office hours, you know, people go home.
At least it's daylight savings. We have a longer day.
Well,
and it's beautiful
not if you're
out.
Waking up at 11. I don't mean to.
If you can, you know what? Do it while
no,
you can.
No, it sucks. I don't really mean to. I'm planning a bunch of music things, and I need to be up doing things.
That's right. You've got music coming out, Kevin.
Yeah, music's
really
out.
It's really exciting. It's
yeah.
really great.
Thanks.
I love your music.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Kevin, I'd like to ask you, what did you eat today?
Oh. hopefully my trainer's not
listening. Start from the top.
I was running late this morning. I went to the gym this morning. I was running late. And if I can't make myself, normally I would have like scrambled eggs, like regular eggs and some egg whites and like spinach.
That's normally?
Normally.
Okay. I didn't ask you normally.
Okay.
I asked what did
so
you eat today?
If I'm running late, like today, I go to Starbucks and get a spinach feta wrap.
I love that one.
Because it's
like 200
calories. It's
Kevin.
Like the healthiest thing you can get there.
There's another one, the turkey
the reduced
bacon.
Fat turkey bacon.
I'm hooked.
Yeah, that one's great. But it's not as much sustenance.
Yeah. Do you have anything to drink?
No. Water.
Okay. Great.
Or green iced tea.
And then you went to the gym.
And then I went to the gym and then I showed up here with a chocolate chip cookie.
But it was vegan.
It was vegan, so it's basically
that's all
healthy.
You've had so far?
No, I had a chicken breast and some salad.
Kevin, you make it sound like you've eaten like a prosciutto sandwich with brie on it.
Oh, I did have some prosciutto. One of the girls.
What are you leaving out?
Well, I do forget about these things, but I do track everything in my phone on my Fitness Pal.
Wow.
It's the best app.
Wow.
So that's not even an ad. I just use it every day. what
Hello,
did you eat today?
this morning I played tennis. I had a tennis lesson. And then I ate a multi-grain gluten-free English muffin with
I just became
two
a hipster
eggs.
Hearing you say that.
I know. Two eggs and almond cheese from Trader Joe's and a little hot sauce. And then I just had a brown rice salmon avocado roll from Whole Foods because I'm so bougie. I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat later. That's why I'm so excited.
I just want a burrito.
I'm going to trivia night. So you know we're going to a bar with like burgers.
Where do you go to trivia night?
It's the first time I've ever gone.
I love bar trivia.
Do you want to come?
It's my favorite. Oh, so I don't think you've ever been invited technically, but Jema.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know I've never been.
I'm going to rub it in your face now. So hopefully they don't care that I'm talking about this. But Jema Mays, who played Emma Pillsbury on Glee,
on that show.
Yeah, on that show we were on.
Yeah.
She and her husband are the just funniest. They are the funniest people I've ever met in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And they used to do this thing every year.
Christmas trivia show.
And they would, because Adam, her husband, is British. And so they would have like British pub quiz night.
I think I went one year.
I think you did. You did go one year.
I think I came as your guest, though.
Yes.
So that's the only
way. I basically forced my way into it. Like, I forced my way into that friendship.
If you force your way into anything, I'll take it.
Yeah. And so.
Not like that.
It's the best thing ever because that was my way of learning about pub quizzes, like pub quiz nights. And they would put together like five rounds of amazing, amazing.
See?
You do a music round. You would do like a celebrity picture round, like two rounds, I think, of general questions. And then another round of something. Smart. I don't remember what it was. But it was so... 1 year Natasha Bedingfield was there.
Cool.
I don't get starstruck very often.
Yeah.
But I love the Bedingfields.
Yeah,
Daniel and Natasha.
Daniel. Yeah, yeah, I'm a fan.
And we were signing up together. She's like, I like your... She's like, I like your sweater. I was like,
I think you've told me.
And I was probably so rude and I just walked away because I didn't know where to start.
It's like when you panic, you have this whole thing in your head
yeah.
and you panic. Anyway.
So you're going to quiz night.
Yeah, I'm going to quiz night. I wanted to talk about something. I heard on the news this morning that Ariana is now, thank you, next, seeing all her exes and like having lunch or dinner with them and, you know, starting all these rumors that she's back with them. But her rep said that they are not together. She is single and she's just seeing her exes, which I totally can understand. Like, life's short. You want to make sure everybody's good. Totally go for it. But do you? I'm like, listen, I see the past and I want nothing to do with it. I'm moving forward.
You don't talk to your exes.
No. Mm. None of them. And so it's just not the way I function or work, and it's not good for me.
Yeah.
But I'm curious your thoughts on, like, staying – well, I know some of it, but staying friends with exes and keeping in touch and what your thoughts are on that.
I'm a really big proponent of keeping in touch. Mm-hmm. I am very close with – I only have one ex.
Yeah.
We're still best – I hate calling him my ex because, like, we're still best friends.
And you guys, like, functioned as best friends in your relationship.
Yes. And, like, we're family. And I think – dependent upon how your relationship ends and how long you guys were together, I think all those things
matter.
So, like, for us, we were together a very long time, and we are family. We're still family. So, and it wasn't like a tumultuous, ugly breakup. It was sort of like a natural thing after 7-something years that you were drifting apart, and it'd be better if we weren't together.
Yeah.
I do think someone, I don't know Ariana, but in that situation where she's been through a lot, where I do think you get some perspective on life.
Definitely.
And when you take a step back and look at it, it's more important that, oh my God.
Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's going to happen a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Next time you have to beat it.
Sorry.
I do think that it's so important that if you guys meant a lot to one another at some point in your lives, and years go by, even sometimes if it is like a bad breakup, you cared about that person for a reason, and I think if you can, you should be able to check in and still have a friendship.
See, checking in is different than friendship. And also, there's also other people who I've encountered that are with exes to prove that they can be, which I don't think is healthy
right,
at all.
Right.
Like, there's no proving anything
I think it's
anybody.
If you guys, when you're in a relationship, you guys are also friends. You have to be friends.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you miss that company, you miss hearing about their lives and all that
stuff,
then there's
no reason
not to. If society says we can't hang with our exes, I think that's bullshit.
No, I don't think
I think it's up to you.
Like, yeah, I think it's tailored.
You got to do what you want to do. And if that's what she's doing, I commend it. I think it's really hard. I get side eyes and people speaking under their breath about me being friends with my ex. And I'm like, I understand it because most of the time people are not cool with their exes because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, but it's just a personal
preference. It doesn't have to be like that, though.
It doesn't have to be like that. And I totally respect if she's, you know, catching up, making sure everybody's cool. But, like, just to keep that relationship because or to prove something or to be like, hey, I'm the one who's – I'm cool because I can keep in, like, a, you know, friends with my exes kind of thing.
If you're trying to prove anything to anybody,
it's not.
You're doing it for the wrong reasons, so don't waste your time.
Yeah.
I think.
Cool.
Right?
Mm.
I thought you still talked to some of your exes.
No.
Oh.
No. I mean, only the gay ones.
Do I count as an ex?
No.
I'm current.
Yeah.
Always current.
We're dating.
Yeah. I did want to say something really quickly.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is back.
Yes.
This month.
Yes.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited. I haven't even watched any of the trailers because I don't want to know anything.
I'm blocking everything out. Stroked. But it made me think of the story about... So we went to the Emmys a couple of years and...
We never won.
It's
okay.
No, it's fine. It was a great time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So the first year we went, it was quite boring. I think they have a bar now. They didn't have a bar, but it's 3 hours. You just sit in your seat, and it's.
I did see that. They
like the Golden Globes are like everyone's drunk, and it's
right. You
crazy.
Can eat and drink while the show's going
it's
on.
It's rowdy. Emmy's opposite.
Different.
So the second year we went, I got smart, and while you were getting all glam and ready, mm-hmm. I ran out to like the convenience store and found plastic flasks.
That's right, because they do the metal detectors,
yes, metal detectors.
So we can't. You couldn't
so
bring a metal flask.
I went out and got two plastic flasks for
oh,
us to hide
Kevin.
In your clutch.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I had yours in my tux
no,
pocket.
No, I hid one in my boots.
Oh, that's what it was.
My stress.
I filled them up with vodka, which of course eventually got warm.
So proud.
But everyone in our row, it was like the Good Wife people.
That's right.
There were some other shows too that were around, and we were passing up. We'd like lean over during commercial breaks and all like take swigs of the flask. And why I say that is because the next year there's this big Emmy party the night before.
Right.
And being obsessed with Game of Thrones, we saw Robb Stark, King of the North, Richard Madden.
Yeah.
And
so
you and I beelined for him. And he was the sweetest man. Just the sweetest man in the entire world. And we're like, congrats on everything.
Oh,
and we're like,
God.
It was his first time to the Emmys the next day. And we weren't nominated, so we weren't going.
Right.
We're like, just a heads up. It's
that's right. I do remember this.
Really boring.
Bring a flask.
And we're like, get a plastic flask. He's like, oh, really? Where do you get it? And I told him where to get it so he could have a great time. And the next time I
Kevin.
Saw him, he was like, thank God you told me to do that.
No.
I don't know if he actually did it, but it made me feel good.
Yeah, well, obviously, he remembered.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
The one true king of the North.
Oh, gosh.
Bodyguard.
That was a fun time.
Guard my body.
Yeah, you could guard my body anytime.
I mean, whatever he wants.
Literally whatever you want. Well, oh, the Emmys, Kevin. I miss getting dressed up with you.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah, definitely. At
yeah,
some point.
Why not? I'm really excited. We have some good people.
We have amazing, lovely best friends and also my friends.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
And if they're friends of Jenna, they're friends of mine.
That's right.
That's the rule.
Your friends are my friends and my friends are your friends.
You got
and
good
we
taste.
All live in a happy family.
Yeah.
We have the amazing Candace King and Kayla Ewell. Okay, before we go over to Kayla and Candace, let's give a little shout out to TrueCar.
So every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date.
The luxury package you got after a big promotion.
Or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer.
While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in.
Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up.
Then answer a few simple questions.
And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
True cash offer not available in all areas.
That's very nice.
Check out Shenanigans with Sheena Shea every Tuesday on Podcast One.
Shout out right here.
Everyone's favorite from Vanderpump Rules shares juicy stories from behind the bar with amazing guests.
And I was like, hello. And she goes, oh, hi, Derek. Good morning. And I was like, am I Derek? I thought I had turned into a guy named Derek.
Check out Shenanigans with Sheena Shea at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Now back to Showmans with Kevin and Jenna.
And we are back, and we have our lovely, beautiful, talented boss lady friends here today. We've got Candace King and Kayla Ewell.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Guys.
Thanks,
what an
guys, for coming.
There is no other way to introduce you.
That's
two.
Why I have Jenna introduce me anytime I walk through the door. We have Kevin at my house. He's 5'7". Like, oh, stop there. Never mind.
Built as of 6 months ago.
Yeah.
You are looking very toned, I will
that's,
say.
That's why I'm wearing a tight shirt.
I love it.
It makes me look.
Didn't you just come from pumping some iron
I did.
At
I was
the
trying
gym?
To make a joke. And then, yeah, I did actually come.
Do you want to stop and do some push-ups before
sure,
we keep
just
going?
To prove it.
Just
yeah. mm-hmm. Yep. No, I'm sweating. Oh, God. Enough about me.
We've got the boss ladies here.
Yes.
We've got the podcast host, you guys.
Woo-hoo.
Podcast Directionally Challenged.
Yes.
Right?
It's been so fun doing together. It was a new chapter for our friendship to work together because we met on Vampire Diaries, obviously. Mm-hmm. No, scratch that. We met at the screen test.
Yeah.
Of
auditioning.
The Vampire Diaries.
Oh, you did.
Yes.
Yes.
Is you that how you guys met,
yes.
too?
We met at a test for Glee.
Did you bond at the test?
That would
you
be a
know
no.
what that's like? It's like
we were just like terrified.
You're just shaking, and
yeah.
So Kayla over here, it could not be like the most like welcoming person at a screen test. She had, like, a, in my eyes, a giant bag of Sour Patch Kids.
I think it was a giant bag.
Yeah.
It was big.
And you were like, hey, you're guys, smart. Anyone want any snacks? And she was like, Candace, love your purse. And I was just like, who is this bitch trying to be nice? Like, what is this? Like,
were you guys testing for the same role?
Yeah. No.
Okay. But still.
See, that's why.
But
do you know
still,
what I mean?
You're still kind of like, what's going on? I don't know. I don't trust anyone in this room.
It's true. It's
about
true.
My Sudoku book, just trying to be like, yeah. Keep the mind sharp.
Like, nobody
talked
to me.
Oh, my God, you did?
I did. I used to audition with Sudoku books, which maybe I need to bring back into my rotation.
Yeah. Any suggestions?
Yeah. Right. Everyone headphones. Else is studying their lines and Candace is over there doing Sudoku.
It's very calming.
Which I love, by the way. It is calming.
That is calming. I usually put headphones in so that people can't mess with me. Yeah. I know they're trying to mm-hmm. mess with me.
Oh, mm-hmm. I just don't make eye contact with anyone. So I'm like, I'm not friendly right now.
We made eye contact a couple of times. Kevin and I made eye contact a couple of times.
Yeah, that was different. Once I realized, like, we weren't testing against each other, I'm like, I can be nice to you.
Yeah.
Weird. You guys are the same
I know.
Type.
I feel like you guys would go out
I know. We test for a lot happens. Of the same yeah. stuff. Yeah, we definitely do.
Kayla and I didn't even really film together that much on the show.
No. Right? We didn't work together basically at all. I think there was one scene where it was a group scene and we were like, wait, we're actually shooting together? This
oh
is so
gosh.
Cool. But our storylines didn't overlap at all.
At
so
all.
We were really just friends who happened to work on the same show.
Yeah.
Did
you
and
guys
never
hang
worked
out
together.
Offset? Like,
of course.
Constantly.
Yeah. Our first time we met was on essentially the real time we had a good solid conversation was at the airport flying to shoot the pilot. Mm-hmm. And
because you guys shot in Atlanta.
We shot. Well, the pilot was in Vancouver.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And we had the coolest moment because Diane Keaton was sitting behind us on the airplane. And to us now, she's like our good omen for anything, right?
So if Diane Keaton shows up,
you're
all
good.
Fair.
I mean,
you're good.
Yeah.
You're
good.
That's all you need.
And I think she was wearing a white turtleneck. Like,
of course
it's
she
exactly
was.
Yeah. how you want to see Diane.
Yes. And so we were so excited we were doing this show. So the whole plane ride, of course, we're like chatting about everything and discussing details and everything. And so after the whole plane ride, we get up, we stand up to leave, and Diane Keaton says, excuse me, girls, I overheard your conversation. What are you working on? What are you doing? And we were just like,
Kayla's like, oh, we're on this show called The Vampire. And like, Kayla's handling it like a champ.
She's like, would you like some Sour Patch Kids?
Yes. Candace is so cute.
So I had a speech in my mind. I was like whispering to Kayla. I was like, I have to say something to her before she leaves because this is Diane Keaton. And I was going to say, thank you so much for everything that you've done. Your career is such an inspiration, like, as a young woman in this business. Like, you're wonderful. You know, just... Yeah. You're a kick-ass woman. And all that came out was just like, you are... awesome. And then I just stared at her.
And it was just silent. And I just started.
Kayla just started like walking me away.
I just pulled her away because it was horrifying. She was just, I could tell she wanted so badly for it to be this amazing movie mm-hmm. moment. And she just
Is
couldn't
it ever?
Find the words never.
Is
and
it ever?
So I'm just like, we love you. And pulling her away.
That's a lot better than having gone down some trail of saying something really embarrassing, mm-hmm. which I've done before. But. That's not that bad.
No.
No, I mean, but it's
you just
key.
Wish you had said more.
Or I like, just wanted to be like the cool girl with that, like, hey.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted your speech to go how you planned it.
I know.
Yes, and so now whenever we need like a moment of, you know, triumph or like some encouragement, we're always like, hey, you're awesome, like Diane Keaton.
Aww.
Yeah. And that's our thing.
So, what a good omen.
That's a really good omen.
Gotta bring her around some more often.
I know, honestly. Can we get her here?
Just go to the Hamptons. I'll just hang out on the beach.
Why don't you come on your podcast? She'll come on your podcast.
Of course.
Yeah, totally.
Once she hears this story, yeah. she will.
You are awesome. Just send her an email. Yeah. You are awesome.
Hire a plane to ride it in the sky.
So you guys met on Vampire Diaries, and then did you work in between the podcast and that? Did you guys work together at all?
No.
Never.
Oh, wow.
Just worked on our friendship.
Yeah. I feel like we were able to have a really healthy long-distance friendship. And, like, Kayla came back to Atlanta a lot working, and then I'd come back to L.A. working a lot. And we'd never been like, we have to find something to work on. And it wasn't until finally when, like, Joe and the kids and I moved here... Mm-hmm. And we'd say we were drinking, ended up on my bathroom floor, as one does.
Yes.
As one does.
And just like catching up on life.
Drunk in love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, all we were talking about are all the podcasts we were listening to. And I was like, well, we could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at the stuff we're talking about right
yeah.
now. This
right.
this is pretty important. I'm sure other people want to hear about this.
Well, and I think we felt like we weren't where we wanted to be in our life. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we felt openly that we could talk to each other about. And so we thought, okay, wait, if we're feeling this way, I guarantee there are other people feeling this way. Let's formulate a podcast and try and help people and figure it out on the way. And so that's why I think you came up with Directionally Challenged.
I love the name. I was going to say it's really
funny. Yeah, and it just fits so perfectly because that's truly how we felt and still feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, even after we're almost done with our first season, even afterwards, we're like, okay, wait, we've learned so much. And then it's like, well, wait, we're still pieces of work, though. We still need to figure this out.
I know. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
It's funny. I was thinking about, like, where I was in high school thinking, like, you know, the milestones that you're like, at 26, I'm going to be married. And then at 30, I'm going to have a kid. I think he was like 24 at first, and then it got pushed back, and then it got pushed back again. And I keep pushing
it back. Even when I met you, it was like 25. 28, we'll do this. Like, keep going, Jenna. We have no time for anything else.
Well, here's a funny story. So Kevin and I on the show, our characters, at the very end of like season 6, we have this really cute little picnic lunch. And Artie is like, I don't know who proposes it, but, you know, I think one of us is like, by the time we're 30, if we're not married, we should marry each other. 30? You guys.
I saw that scene a year ago. Somebody sent it to me. And I was like, I'm 30 this year. That doesn't seem nearly far enough to do this. And I think that's probably why, like, your show is so good, because everybody's a constant, like, work and action type of thing where you're never completely, like, solidified into, I thought I was going to be this person at 30 or this person at 35.
Well, especially,
so it is nice to hear people talk about it and know that you're not going through that alone and figuring that out. I'm like, it's just me who's having a midlife crisis at 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we were not good at sharing our midlife crisis on Instagram. Like, that was something we kept talking about, is wanting to be open and wanting to be real and, you know, also having an audience on social media. And there are some people that do that really, really well, mm-hmm. who can be like, hey, listen to how crazy my life is and how crazy my day is. Mm-hmm. That's not something that came organically to me. And Kayla was saying it wasn't, mm-hmm. didn't feel organic to her either. And we're like, well, where can we actually have a conversation, mm-hmm. about this, as opposed to just kind of like posting a picture of, like, you know, I've said it even on our podcast, like, I love when people are like, this is me today. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to post a picture of me with pimples. Like, it's not, like, I feel like I look like crap most of the time, like, juggling, like, kids and work and all the things where I'm like, I like a pretty picture, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how people do it. I feel the exact same way. I'm like, good for you for, like, narrating, I woke up feeling like this today, like, to the camera. I'm like, not going to do that, but I really wish I knew how.
Well, and anytime I try to do something like that, I just think and overthink, and it's not an enjoyable experience, so I'm just going to avoid it altogether. But there's something about a podcast being able to be raw and real and have a discussion that is just so freeing, and I've loved every minute of it. I'm so excited for you guys that you have this.
Thanks.
So fun.
Thanks. Has the podcast brought your, like, friendship closer together?
1,000%. Mm. I mean, we went through everything together before, even long distance. We always did a really good job of calling each other, checking in, and going to see each other, which it requires a lot of work, you know? You really have to both choose to want to be friends in a long distance relationship. But this is next level, because we're like, okay, what's your deep, dark struggle right now? And what do you want to discuss? Right. And then it really forces you to open up. And it's been amazing. It's been really great. I feel like I know myself more too, going through all this.
Yeah. And it's when you, I think, work with a friend, you learn more about how each person isn't working on a business. Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely, we've both, I think, realized our strengths and our weaknesses and, like, where we can improve and what we can contribute to the podcast to make it the best thing.
Yeah. So Candace likes things handled right away, right now. And I'm weird, and I like time to think about it and process it. So we had to go through this thing. They're pointing to each
other. We're all
like,
pointing to each other at the moment.
Jenna's the Candace.
I'm like, yep.
But it's one of those things where we had to go through that process and learn, like, okay, we should probably figure out how to meet in the middle. Yeah. Mm. So, okay, you need it instantly. Mm. I need time. So let's
this is good for us. Tell us
going. Please
and
share.
It works. And it works. Yeah. And now I feel like finally we figured out the rhythm of it. But it does take time because you have a friendship and then you have a business friendship. So you have to figure out the ins and outs of what makes that work.
Totally.
We definitely had to sit down where we finally had to be like, okay, let's look at the bigger picture of like what tasks we want to take on. And the reality is like, I don't always like listening to myself and making edits and I get uncomfortable. And Kayla had no problem with it. So she's much better at like working with the editor to see what's significant in the podcast and what we can kind of let go of.
And Candace kills it at social media. Like, is so good at coming up with like ideas and things, and it's just taken off since she was the, because at first we were both doing all the socials. And
it's a lot.
It's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, and it just works for her to handle that side. So we figured it out. Yeah, we figured it out through trial and error. Yeah.
I just like to tell Kevin what to do and he just does it. And that's how this works.
I love
this
it.
Is how perfect. This relationship works.
You tell me where to be at what time and I'll show up.
I'm like, I've printed out your printout. Yes. I've made a to-do
like
list
two
for
days
us.
Ago,
don't
she's
worry.
Like, I printed it out. Don't worry. I'm like, we have 48 hours before. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'll print it out the morning of. Like, this is great.
I'm like, what if we're out of ink, though? I can't wait that.
What if, whatever you want, Jenna. That's really how I feel.
Those are the right words, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's
we live
the right
together,
thing to
so
say.
I feel like we.
Yes. Oh, yeah. How long did you guys live together?
Two years.
While we were working together.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whoa.
And not one fight. Right?
No, yeah, not at all. Did you? I think what's probably really great about what you guys had is you were living, like when you guys were doing Vampire Diaries, you were living away from here, but you weren't necessarily spending every waking moment together because you didn't really work together that often. You hung out outside of it. Do you think, had you guys been working together every day, I kind of feel like I know the answer to this, that it would have really changed anything?
I think it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it would have been fine, especially because that whole cast was pretty close, especially in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And, it was just, it was kind of felt like college or school or something where we were all in the dorms together, like living, you know, kind of idea. But originally Candace was in Alpharetta, which was just a little bit outside of Atlanta. And so she was a little,
family,
she was
right?
the family.
Even that money.
Yeah, girl. So
saving
smart.
Even that
that's
money
right.
for the first 6 months.
You never know.
Also, your aunt is the coolest and has the most
amazing lake house. Yeah, they lived in like a mansion. And like, they're like, here's our quarters. And it's literally like a giant room with its own kitchen by the pool. And I was like, yeah, guys, I think I'm going to save.
I'll make the commute. Don't worry about it.
I think so.
Well, and then we all got to reap the benefits of it on the weekends and go up to a lake house and hang out and go out on the boat. And it was just phenomenal. So it had a really cool energy about it. So, yeah, I think that helped too is like we were not really working together. We were just kind of playing together. And that's how the friendship formed.
You guys have worked for a very long time. Have you guys ever had relationships like this with people you've worked with instantly? Because it sounds like you guys clicked instantaneously.
Really quickly. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if I've had one that clicked like this on this level.
Yeah, I think friendships grew more over time. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys have been friends for a really long time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I think like, especially in this industry, I feel like it's so common to, it's like the traveling circus. You're all kind of there and living this wild, crazy ride. And then when the ride's over, it's over. It's kind of like an Almost Famous when it's like towards the end of the movie. And she's like, no one ever wants it to be over. Because then it is. Everyone goes back to their own homes and their own lives. But I feel like we all kind of like have stayed pretty close.
Even last weekend, we were with Paul Wesley and then Kevin Williamson, Julie, and all these people who helped create the show, and it felt like family. It really felt like family, and I hadn't seen some of them in a while, and we just sat down and we could not stop talking. I think we stayed for 6 hours.
Wow.
And the conversation just kept flowing, and I think that's what you find, those people that just inspire you and you just continue to keep them around.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
It's really nice.
Towards the end of the show, there was like one of the many goodbye dinners, and we would always do like speeches around the table. And I had recognized in my marriage that like no matter how much Joe had like come around everyone on set and visited the set, there was just a different language that we all spoke with one another as like a crew and a cast and a production. And I just like took the moment to be like, how crazy is this? Like, how often does that happen when you guys, like, I'm probably not going to see some of these people for a long time, but I know depending on how many Diet Cokes Tony's had, like, how behind we are on the schedule. You know, it's like, you have this bizarre shorthand.
Yeah.
And I think that doesn't go away. And it does become this family where you just pick up right where you left off.
Yeah.
Or we can have a dinner party like last weekend and it's like we roll right back into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've always stayed connected outside of that regardless. Like, we just, there was an immediate sisterhood that I think
happened.
Yeah.
And there's like a group of us as girlfriends that we've all kind of had that similar kind of connection.
Well, and weeks would go by and then the phone would ring and we'd pick up and one of us would be in tears and we would just be like, okay, what's going on? You know? Right. And that to me is the testament of a real friendship. Mm-hmm. There's no falsehood.
Yeah.
It's just realness.
Yeah. No matter how much time has passed since you've last spoken.
Yeah.
I think it's also so special that you have that. Anybody's lucky to get that once in a career or in a friend group. Mm-hmm. And to be able to, I think we went through a similar thing because hearing you guys talk about that, we're like, oh, this sounds exactly like us.
Yeah.
Where you do feel really fortunate because I hear stories of people who do go work on shows or movies and things. And because it is like a traveling circus, sometimes you're just never going to see these people or sometimes you're just not going to click that way and you're not going to, it's like a really intense relationship for a short period of time and then it goes away and then everybody's on to the next thing. The crew's on to the next thing.
Right.
And it's so special that you guys have that and so rare because so many people don't. And I think we've heard that, especially from like crew members. They're like, this is weird that you guys are bonding so much and it's really great and not normal.
Well, I think that's part of a success of a show, too, is based on the chemistry, whether people hate each other or love each other, you know, that it definitely thrives off of that. And so when you're that close, the longevity of, like, having that many years of spending with each other is really important. So.
Isn't that the truth? I feel like anytime I've heard, like, good gossip about a show that I love, it's either everybody loves each other or everybody hates each other.
It's so true.
And, I feel like
and it
more
changes
often than not,
season to season.
Yeah, it's true.
It's so true.
But something I've really learned from Kayla is I feel like moving out to LA at such a young age and I felt this like pressure to be pitted against other women, especially like I started off in the music business and it was all like, well, what they're doing, like that's competition. Everything was competition.
Right.
And even from like day one, you had the Sour Patch Kids. I feel like you've constantly taught me that like, no, we're all here to lift each other up. And like we're all like cheerleaders for each other because that's like, that's the stuff. Like we as women really need to cheer each other on. And so even like coming back to LA and feeling this like fish out of water feeling again and getting back into casting rooms, it's a whole different perspective now because I feel like that's what you bring to friendships and just to women in general.
Wow.
Is just this like, let's all lift each other up.
I mean, I don't even have to ask questions. Okay. You guys are just like rocking.
This is a seminar. Like that's amazing.
But I do really feel like it's a choice you have, right? Because what we do every day, getting into the room and, you know, being compared, everyone else already compares us to the other people. We might as well try and build each other up because it is so difficult to find that confidence day in and day out to go back in the room and try and sell yourself after you've just been told this or that or whatever. Right. So we might as well create this sense of it's all good. We're all in it together because it is hard to go through. So we might as well do it together than feel. I just don't love that feeling of aloneness that this industry can bring.
Because it doesn't have to be that way.
No.
I think we've put that on ourselves. And like we're dealing with rejection anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't need it from each other when we're outside of the audition room.
No.
Well, this town is hard and our business is hard. And so when you find the people that can show you new things about yourself, teach you new ways to look at the world and look at the business, it's like you got to hang on to those people because they don't come around a lot. So, you know.
It's rough
it's
out
okay,
here.
Kevin. We'll find you somebody.
Thanks. I'm still looking. still trying to figure it out.
Are you spending a lot more time together now that you're working together as well as like best friends?
Yeah.
Has that affected your relationship?
I think it's just progressed the friendship. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, all it's really done is I've always been able to share my secrets with people, but not necessarily, there's always been a few I've kept inside, you know? And now going through this, I feel like it's just all or nothing. Like it's all in.
You gotta air it out.
And there are times when I'm going through stuff and I'll just text her and be like, hey, I know we have the podcast today. Just FYI, like this is happening and I'm coming in hot. Get ready. When usually I feel like I might be able to kind of keep a little bit of that to myself, where now I just feel like she gets the whole version of me.
Oh, both. We've both seen the good, the bad, and the ugly
and
of each
really
other.
And it's really refreshing and it's really nice to have someone like that.
Yeah.
Because, it's nice to not have to be anything other than what you really are.
Yeah. It sounds like it feels like therapeutic or you have an open forum even beyond your friendship to like discuss it and talk about it. And then how has it been like hearing from people who have been listening to it and getting the feedback of what
that's been difficult. That was a part that I wasn't sure. I wasn't aware that I wasn't prepared for that.
people will share their opinion with you even when you're not asking for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's not necessarily something you want to discuss or you already are aware of and you've already fixed it, but because you're a few episodes behind, you know, that kind of thing. So I think I just expected complete support, like, from the beginning. Like, everyone would love
it. Each other complete support.
Yeah, exactly.
And Kayla's like the eternal optimist. Yeah. Like, she's, you know, Sour Patch for everybody.
It's true. So I just expected that to happen. And then when it didn't happen, I was like, wait, what's happening? What's going on?
Can you speak more about, like, what, when it doesn't happen, or, like,
yes,
specifically?
Yes, of course. So,
like,
I would just, you know, not even be discussing the podcast, and friends would bring it up and be like, hey, so I think you should do
like
this
in person.
No.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I genuinely think it came from a good place where they felt like they were trying to help, mm-hmm. because it was something so new. But, you know, the first time you play baseball, you're not going to be good at baseball. The problem is we kind of started with, I don't want to say the World Series, but we already had such a huge platform where people were listening. So a ton of people joined us for our first game of baseball.
Sure.
Which is not necessarily
it's
ideal.
Like, give us a break.
Yeah. Because we were learning. So I felt like we were learning in front of everyone, as opposed to honing this craft and then being able to go out and show them the best version of it.
But isn't that great?
Yeah. Like, is it? Yeah.
I mean, it's not. No. But it is. Like, yeah. It's why it's cool watching. Like, I remember I came on your podcast, like, really, really early.
Yeah, you were the best.
And you guys were so great. And you were so good at what you were doing. And I'm sure you've only gotten better. And I've listened to recent episodes, and you have only gotten better. And, you know, it's just, it's this nice growth that you get to see your friends, you know, experience. And, you know, I'm so proud. But I think that's important to learn to go out there and take risks and not just be this perfectionist thing that, you know, you're like, this is going to be perfect and this is what it is and I'm only going to show you the shiny and then, like, the, you know, the best of the best.
Well, and ironically, that is what the podcast is about, right. Too. So you're right. I think it was just when you want people's support and then they're giving you support, but maybe not necessarily, there's a little judgment behind it or, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? F them.
I also feel like this, like, podcast forum feels like counterintuitive to maybe people like us who are like, we show up on set, we do our lines, we're supposed to be super professional all the time, super rehearsed, like media trained out the ass. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is all going to be perfect. We're not doing the live streams on Instagram showing our pimples because that makes us uncomfortable type of people. And so, especially what your show is about, it's sort of being like, I have to go against anything I've ever been taught or what I've been doing as a career up to this point. And I feel like as a listener, though, it feels so good to hear people like you guys challenge yourselves to do that in that way.
That's
beyond like getting better
point.
At just running a podcast, hearing you guys figure that out and break your sort of cycle of what you guys have been doing up to that point, and then being that honest gets you to like a whole new, I think, audience and appreciation from an audience standpoint of, oh my God, these people are really putting themselves out there and challenging themselves. And I think that makes a listener then do that in their own way for themselves.
That's great. Well, I hope that was our hope.
I think that we did get to a point when we did kind of read some constructive criticism, and all we were thinking was the criticism part. And then one day it was just like, wait, we need to make this constructive. Like, and also this is our thing. We're not doing this for anyone else except for ourselves. And obviously we want to connect with our audience, but it has to come from us in a truthful, honest way. And if that's a little messy, well, you know what? It's on brand with Directionally Challenged.
How nice to be, like, with your friends in control of the content and what you're doing. Like, it's a big part of, like, why we created this podcast. You know, we have a platform of fans that, like, loved our friendship, and we love our friendship, but yet, like, it's still so messy and so gross, but it's just, it's gross, Kevin.
We're gross.
But it's fun to do that and to be in control of it, because in this business, we're at the mercy of so many moving parts and other people, so I think it's really important to have control over some of those things, although people would tell me otherwise because I'm a control freak.
But it is empowering. You're right.
We have an episode coming out, or if it might be already out, but it's with Monica Berg, and she wrote a book called Fear is Not an Option, mm-hmm. where we really were actionable about what she wrote down in her book about writing down our fears. And we talk about it on the podcast, and we didn't really hold back. You know, we talked about our fears of especially working in this business of, like, what if I never find that work-life balance? What if I don't work again? You know what, you know, and that's something that is very counterintuitive, because you're supposed to be like, no, I'm doing great. Look how busy I am all the time, which we are all busy. But
in an industry that does have rejection and where you know that you have to go through a lot of no's to get a yes, mm-hmm. It was, I think, really kind of liberating to be able to say, you know what? Yeah, like we get those no's and those no's are really scary and they do have an impact on us and we do have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And so it's been nice to have a platform in which we could have that kind of vulnerability, mm-hmm. and it's not just a picture and it's not like a pre-planned quote, but it's just us really speaking from the heart to someone who is an expert on that.
That's great. Candace, yeah. In the vein of directionally, dang, we're just being schooled right now. That's what I feel like.
To go into that, I mean, I have, I relate to that a lot, and I think we both do.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of our friendship is the exact same in that way, where we talk to each other about that and being able to, like, I'd say you guys are, we're not specifically even talking about those things because it is so hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it is really nice to have people be able to put that out there and put themselves out there to
actually verbalize it.
Yeah.
Because when you say it out loud, it becomes even realer.
Yes. then you think that, like, that's all it is.
Right.
Then it's like, but one of the things I think we learned is, like, once you acknowledge your fear and make friends with your fear, you can kind of let them go. You're like, okay, that's not as scary as I thought it was.
I said it. I'm still here.
Yeah, we're all good.
So that means I have to make friends with all the spiders?
Yes.
Well, I don't know about that.
Candace, in the vein of like directionally challenged in your life specifically, I feel like you just moved back to LA. You are now a mom of a few and you're married, you're a wife, and you know, you're a successful actress. Like, what have you learned regarding like work-life balance and from your perspective?
Oy, that you cannot have it all. Mm. You're either going to be killing it at one thing or killing it at the other. And, you know, the times where I feel like I'm really rocking it at work, like, I feel like I'm falling short at like giving time to my husband and giving time to our marriage and giving time to all of three kids individually. Mm-hmm. And it's just knowing that you can't do it all at once. And you do have to kind of make time for individual things. Like Sunday, it's like, okay, our 13-year-old has her science experiment. Mm-hmm. This is the time. Yes, this is the time. Date nights with husband. The other day I took our oldest to K-Town to go like sheet mask shopping and like get some fun beauty stuff. You know, it's like really setting aside that individual time, mm-hmm. and knowing that like the work stuff is great. Like it's all working out. Like we work really hard on our podcast. Like I audition like crazy. It's mm-hmm. like things are busy. And so, but just because it doesn't look like how I think it's supposed to look at all times, like, yeah, I'm not going to be like the hottest, sexiest, like, you know, put together wife. And I'm not going to be the mother who's like, you know, Sound of Music singing all around the house. And, you know, that isn't just like, let me get the dishes, my darlings. Like,
but I will say you have a little bit of all of that in you.
Yeah.
And watching you from afar, not living it, but watching it, I really respect you for it because it seems like you have found a good balance. Mm-hmm. No one's perfect. You're never going to be perfect, but none of us will. But there's something about watching you finding the time to take your oldest to K-Town and then also do the science experiment and then also kill it at your audition. And also there is so much on your plate and there's so much on all of our plates that it's inspiring mm-hmm. to watch you find the time for each.
Well,
and you've learned it. I've watched you in this past year really go through the process of figuring it out, you know, and I just really commend you for it because it is not an easy process. It was a huge move, a huge life change for the whole family, and you guys did it.
Thanks.
And I think just even being here and doing it is killing it, period.
Thanks. Well, I think the two actionable things, one is I found a great therapist. Thank you, Kayla.
You're welcome. I'm not a therapist.
We share a therapist. Yes.
Really?
Yes, Kevin and I share a therapist.
I'm like, oh, this is like looking into a really beautiful mirror.
It's really
that is
funny.
Hilarious. I would love to look like this.
I know.
Of the table.
I was like, this is like the better version of us.
Yeah. Great. We just have to call you in every couple of weeks to come back.
Whatever. I've taken training mate with Jenna, and she kills it.
Oh my god, those planking videos.
I know. Like, between your planks
and your push-ups,
things.
I'm like, I don't know how she does this. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, I'm still in bed. So good for you.
It's just an upside down plank. The in bed motion.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. all I'm it like, is. I can flex in bed.
Look at all this positivity, you guys. Yeah. It's so optimistic in this room.
But the actionable things I've learned for work life balance are one with the therapist that I did that I do have. She was saying, like, what is your role? Like, as a stepmom, if you can find a therapist, I cannot encourage you more to do so. And recognize what your role is. As that, it's not to have it all together. It's not to always be the strict parent. It's like, how can you encourage your child? What do they need from you? And if it's like support and time, it's like, okay, that's what you have to look at. Is it that the whole house is going to be perfectly cleaned all the time? No, you got to give somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, it's just all long game. You know, like today, can you be the most successful person in your industry and the best spouse and the best mom? No, you can't do all those things on the same day. There's no have like time to meditate and be like a realized human being. Yeah. No. So it's the long game. Yeah. It's the like, well, I could only do kind of one of those things really good today. You know what? It's all going to be okay.
Mm.
It's the long game.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's really
I think that's good advice for anyone.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, I'm just married, so it's just me and my husband right now, and I feel like my plate is so full. Mm-hmm. So long game. I'm going to remind myself of that.
And wine.
That's a good one.
A long game and a lot of wine.
I love wine.
Some wine at the finish line.
Wine, reality TV, and, you know, that's it. That's all you need.
And a podcast.
And a podcast. Kayla, what about you? Directionally challenged in the vein of... What have you learned over the past, you know, couple of years?
I mean, honestly, a lot. I learned that I was a lot more confident in who I was when I was a teen, which is really rare and weird.
Yeah, good for you.
And how I've somehow lost that. And so I've been challenging myself to find that again in my life and figure out how to implement it more into my everyday. And I did figure out it was because of our industry and how much I felt beat down from it. And so challenging myself to not let it affect who I really am and to acknowledge it, but then figure out ways and tactics to deal with it and move on and not let it determine who I am. So yeah, just that's something I'm currently working on.
Well said.
but yeah, it's interesting how it's very liberating once you voice your fears and allow them to kind of take over, you can then figure out how to fix it and move on. So the whole podcast experience has just been really liberating for me. I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's been really fun.
Well, and you get to use your voice. You're not hiding. Kayla, you've said this multiple times, that it's refreshing not to hide behind a character or dialogue that's been provided for us.
Yeah.
Or what you were saying, Kevin, about like media training. Like, it is true. It's always like, don't rock the boat.
Right.
Don't say anything too like black or white. Always stay in the gray area. You know, it's whereas like... This is a beautiful time to find your voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is, I think, kind of what like your 30s are about. It's like, I love when people are just like, oh yeah, in my 20s, it's like, how can I service everyone else? In my 30s, it's like, well, F you. This is who I am, you know.
And this is what works for me.
And this is what works.
This is how it's going to work.
It's a recognition of like, we're all sort of struggling with the same things.
Yeah.
It's like, we're all good. Everyone's on the same team. Everyone's just trying to get through it. Have you found like what you were just talking about, that you were saying how you've seen how positive she can be and how it's helped you. Have you guys turned to each other, like bounced off the things you've learned from one another now when one of you is down or struggling and trying to figure something out, that the thing you've taught them comes back to help you?
1,000%. Candace does such a good job with self-care and knowing like what she needs to build herself back up. Mm. And I realized I don't really know what gets me back to normal. I don't know what that is just yet. So I'm figuring that out. Is it taking my book and reading it in the bathtub? Is it like getting wasted on tequila shots? Like what is it that takes me back to the place where I feel best? And I'm kind of learning that. And Candace she knows herself really well and knows what it takes to put herself back together. And I really admire that. So that's something I've seen that I'm like, okay, I need to just learn from that and implement that. And I'm still figuring that out.
Mm. I learned I make excuses. Mm. I do. I hate technology. And I'll be like, I'm the person that's like, oh, I don't know how the trash can works, so I guess I can't do it. You know, and that's
I'm going to use that one.
That's really good.
So I love how you chose trash can.
Fancy ones with the sensors.
Yeah, I was so mad at our trash can this morning. I can't even talk about it. There's so much trash shoved in it. Five people shoving trash in it. Yep.
But she has a normal trash can.
You do have a normal trash can. I think I shoved a bunch of my leftovers in it. Oh, no,
that's already been thrown away. This is a whole other round. Okay. And that's from 2 nights ago.
You know what? It's because you threw away my burrito.
Yes.
No, you did.
Yes.
Sorry.
It was at the bottom of the trash can.
We digress.
I know. But so, but yeah, so I think I had to realize, like, with, like, deadlines and even, you know, sometimes for the ads that you hear on podcasts, mm-hmm. sometimes if we're not recording them on the day, we're recording them separately. And I just could not stay on schedule to do that. And I'd be like, I don't know, it's in the file somewhere. And I really thought I uploaded it into the file, but like, I'm not triple checking. And I'm just like, I'm tired. I want to be with my family. And yeah. Which is the self-care element, but it's taking responsibility for the
See, we can't have it all, you guys. We just can't
and
have
I was
it
like,
all.
But I can also make time to do that and set aside a time and stay mm-hmm. on schedule. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've learned is that, like, no excuses. You kind of just got to do it and stop procrastinating. Like mm-hmm. if I, you know, I did it all throughout my teens and 20s, like it's time to stop procrastinating in my 30s.
It's okay. You just have to say, I work best under pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Except I don't. Then I'm like, I don't know where the files go. Where's the trash can?
It's still uploading.
I don't understand.
Never mind. Well, you guys, you seem to have it somewhat together. You're articulate and beautiful and talented and awesome. And we're so happy that you were able to come and share your
relationship. I need to go
have
a word
with
myself after this.
I'll have a word with you.
Okay, thank you. It's like, oh, they're really getting it together.
We're fooling everybody.
I do have to say, I just want to thank you. But I think saying how you don't have to be perfect, and I can sound cliche, but the way you said it was beautiful. Where, like, you can't do it all at once. No one's going to get 100% of you all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think overall that's such a good message going forward with anything in life, where you carve out your time, you do the best you can within that time, and then F everything else.
Yeah, well, and the reality is someone will be disappointed.
Yeah.
And but you're going to get to that, you know, you're going to get to that the next time. Like, honestly, if I make time for the kids and my husband for, like, a date night and then, like, work, like, at the end of the day, what I'm going to be missing is, like, some self-care time. And that's when I know, like, okay, I'm going to go to, like, the Korean spa next week and, like, get the goddess treatment and turn my phone off for a few hours. And then that's
you can't please everyone.
But you can't. And then you're there and everyone's like, but I need you. Where are you?
You're like, oh, the service wasn't where you know it's here.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry.
This is really good for you guys too, because you've started this podcast and it's a new endeavor, and you've done so many wonderful accomplished things with your careers, but, like, learn from our experience if you can, and like, if people aren't happy about it, who cares? Do your thing, own it, and, like, kill it, you know?
And I love that it's a podcast about celebrating friendship, because I feel like that's what we need more of now. It's just like, like, it's okay to be happy and get along.
Like, that's support each other.
And support each other. Yeah. And bring Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
To Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sour Patch.
That is
this
the best
episode
move I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, they were all poisoned. No, I'm kidding.
A little bit of
check the Halloween candy, kids. Anyway, Candace, Kayla, thank you so much. When we come back, Kevin's favorite thing, wedding advice.
We're gonna get some wedding advice.
Ooh.
I can't wait.
Random.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Okay, and we are back with Kevin's favorite segment.
Yes.
Wedding advice.
And we have some special guests.
Wedding advice.
Candace and Kayla have decided to stay.
We wanted to stay
because they're
badly
actually married.
And we didn't want you. We just didn't want to leave.
Yeah, fair.
We're like, we're not leaving, guys.
We'll have you
welcome
for
to
forever.
Our sauna.
I love this segment. I love it.
Well, the funny part is, for people who are new, Kevin loves to give wedding advice.
I love it.
And
not that I'm very good at it. I just like to do it.
Well, we also made a mistake, and we storied once, and we're like, send us your wedding advice. And then we realized that people were like, you're getting married?
Yeah, we worded
like,
it incorrectly.
Friends, people. No, you guys, we're not getting married. We want to give advice right in.
Yes.
DM us. All right, Kevin, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have some. Okay, you ready?
And ladies, both married, feel free to chime in, because I think you have more experience than we do.
Because I don't think I know the answer to this one.
Okay.
So this one says, my mom's getting remarried, and we went wedding dress shopping, but the thing is, the dress is terrible, and everyone knows it, and it looks really bad. How do we tell her?
You got to tell her. You got to tell her. You just got to tell her.
I want to know what's, I want pictures.
See, ladies?
I'm like, no, it's, if she loves it and she feels good in it and that's the one she wants, and like, you know, that's where it's also like, as a mom, you can't always pick your kids' clothes because they have personalities of their own. And then as the daughter, you can't dress your mom.
I'd be interested to know, is it inappropriately bad? Because if it's, you know, showing too much whatever, then maybe you just say, hey, what if we throw a shrug over the top or try and fix it or figure it out?
So you're giving her other options.
Other options so that she still has her dress, but then can also, like, you know, maybe be appropriate. But if it's just that, like, it's purple and they wanted her in white, maybe let her do her thing.
That's
I don't know. It depends.
I think it also depends on their relationship.
Yeah.
Because if it was my mom, I'd be like, mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, I had
that's a good point.
We're going to
be like, Betsy,
let
no,
me
t- no.
But I'd be like, let me tell you why I don't think this is best for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can do it respectfully in that way, if you guys are close like that, but on the other side, I do agree
you
with
just you. Gotta,
that
you gotta you gotta pet they, and coax and go,
and also,
okay.
Has it been purchased yet? Is it too late? Or are we at the point where we can just say it's not my favorite? Let's go to a different shop and see if we can find something
present
else.
Some
see Kayla
options.
With the new options. Always with the, with the new
but
options.
I had a dress that, so all of, like, Kayla, you and our friends here in LA helped me pick it out. Full disclosure, we had been drinking all day, and it was the last one I picked out, and then they all just started, oh yeah, you weren't here, but everyone started crying, was like, that's the dress, and I was like, fine, bring it up.
But it's a phenomenal
and
dress.
And it ended up working out great, but when I showed people pictures, they were like, oh, interesting. It was shorter in the front and longer in the back, and there were a lot of people that I showed in Atlanta, and they didn't like it, and I was like, well, this is the one I chose, and I can't return it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And
just so you know, Tanner was like, Candace's dress was amazing. I'm like, okay, well, I can't wear the same dress as Candace. So, but point taken. Thank you.
Thank you so much
but
for telling me.
Maybe it's a work in progress dress.
Yeah, maybe it is. And I do think there's obviously a huge...
Ted is like, no.
But there's
no.
A huge point that, like, if it makes her mom feel really good about herself, it's her special
No, you just got to reason. You got to be like, listen, love you. I think we can do better. I think you are beautiful, and I want this you to feel that way. If you feel this way and this is the what you want, go for it. But I'm just... I think you have to be honest about it as well, because what if she doesn't have the best taste? What if she doesn't know what looks good on her?
And then looks back at the pictures
and
then looks
at these photos and regrets it.
Yeah. I'd also be interested to know what her dress looked like for her first wedding. They said remarry.
Yeah.
So is it that she's fighting to do something extremely opposite of what she had originally? I don't know.
We need details.
Well, you
I'll get a follow-up. I'll ask some follow-up questions.
We need receipts.
That's a question to ask.
You've got
to
be like, say.
Where
are the receipts?
I know you may want to switch it up, make it different, you know? Okay. Next. All right. Moving on. I think that was...
That's a complicated one.
I think we got
one.
Four...
You can also cut some of that if you guys want. We like went on and on.
Oh, don't worry. They will. And if not, we won't. Okay. So I've got one. What if the bride gets too drunk? Ooh.
I think this is pretty simple. I feel like if the bride gets really drunk, yeah. I guess it depends on how late it is.
Right.
In regards to the length of the events. But I feel like if she's got some bridesmaids, pull the husband aside and be like, I think it's time you guys move on to the next phase. Like, take her up to the hotel room or wherever you're doing.
Here's some snacks.
Yes. I'm like, okay. I think we, and just like,
well, I have a
subtly question. Sort of like whisk somebody away and let the rest of the party go on if it's still going on.
Okay.
I wonder if the bride gets too drunk, if that's just a signal that she doesn't want to actually be getting married. No.
Whoa. Well,
which is also valid, but maybe we'll deal with that the next day.
If you are a bride and you are worried about getting too drunk, like I was, I recommend having a sit down with your wedding planner and saying, I need a plate of food, like waiting for me, and that's what you have to eat before you go talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. And you got to have a 5-hour energy. I stocked our wedding planner up with 5-hour energy.
And she just like fed him to
yes.
You.
I mean, I was super, like, bouncing off the walls, ready to go, but I stayed awake, like...
Alert.
I had my plate of food.
So you drank at your wedding?
Yes.
I'm always worried that, like, I'm going to drink at my wedding and then black out.
Well,
here's what I'll tell you, though. You're so busy the day of. There's so many things going on
yeah.
that you have a cocktail or you have champagne in your hand, but you are so focused on so many other things that you really don't have time to get drunk. That's how I felt. And, you know, I understand the idea of like wanting to fit into the dress and not necessarily eating leading up to the wedding or whatever. But for brides out there, just make sure you really eat, because you will feel like the best version of yourself when you eat, and you'll be able to hold a little bit more alcohol. Yeah. And it really is just this most magical day that like you don't have time to sit and get drunk. There's so many more important things to do.
That's fair. That's
it's stressful enough. You need to give your body its nutrients so you can actually enjoy it.
Yes. Don't listen.
Your brain
I never
is functioning.
Forget to eat. That's not a problem.
I know, right? Yeah, same.
Okay, Kevin.
But I do. Yeah. So moral of the story is plan out your drinking schedule.
Yeah. And if she does get too drunk, make sure she gets some food. Make sure people are watching out. Give her some water and maybe cut her off.
Okay. Here's another question. What would you do at a wedding if a guy you in caps really like and have been best friends with for years was marrying your other best friend?
Wait, so the guy you like is marrying your best friend. Ooh, well.
And you've been friends for years.
That's loaded.
I mean, honestly, to quote the modern poet JoJo, too little too late. I mean, like, what are you going to do? You've been friends for years. They've clearly had a relationship that's gone on long enough where they've gotten married. So it's been serious for a hot minute. You should have said something.
Yeah.
Get out right now.
Yeah, leave.
Yes.
I also think clearly he proposed to this other girl. So maybe
you don't want that person because they don't want you.
Yeah.
That's tough. And
that's
got to
be horrible.
Tell them.
No.
Don't tell them. That no.
Or just be prepared to get new friends. Like, if you do tell them, it's like, is not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know that that's
going to. It's going to just make everything
It's
awkward.
Not fair to your two other best friends that are getting married.
No,
to one
right. No. And you're right, too little too late. You had
that's
a long time to figure this out.
Oof.
Start meeting new people.
Wow. Yeah, branch out. This one's not for you.
This is a movie that I want to watch.
I know. Like, can I be your plus one?
Yeah.
Yes. That's bad. I'm an instigator, though.
It's okay. Yeah. We have time for more. Should you start planning your wedding straight after your engagement or wait a while?
You guys are looking at us.
Well, I feel like you guys would have some sound advice.
My instinct says it's personal preference. It's like between you and your fiance, do you guys want a long engagement or do you want a shorter engagement? Because if you want a longer engagement, then maybe you can just chill and let it ride for a little bit.
I mean, I'm a crazy person. I came up with a Pinterest page within a week, like less than a week.
I would definitely.
Like, I was already, we knew where we wanted to get married.
That helps.
Yes. We'd always said that if we were ever going to get, well, when we got married, because we talked about it before we got engaged, that we'd get married in New Orleans. So within a week, I was already looking up. I was like, oh my gosh, did you know it's like the number one wedding destination? Like, I've already got to start emailing venues. And he's like, we're still in Italy. Like, like, we're in a farmhouse in Italy, and I just proposed like 3 days ago. And I was like, I know, we got to get on it. But he loves planning parties too, so it kind of worked out. But I'm just a psycho person.
I'm the opposite, where I took time and really wanted to be engaged, and it was over the holiday season anyways when we were engaged, which, note, is a really fun time to be engaged because there's just like endless happiness and celebrations. But we definitely took our time, and I was the opposite, where kind of bride where I was like, yeah, that's great. This works. This candle's great. Let's just use that. I mean, I was very much the details almost were a nuisance to me, and I wasn't all about all the little things, and so it was a lot easier. My husband, on the other hand, was a little bit more, his attention to detail was a little bit more, and so I found that he was the one that was a little bit
that's really
more
funny.
High maintenance, which is really funny.
Yeah,
that's great. I feel like
that's
one
cute,
I feel
though.
Like
he
one,
cares.
Somebody has to be.
So
one
cute.
Person's got to be more into it.
Yeah.
How was it with you, though? Because you said...
I mean, I got so crazy that I even had a custom stamp made of our faces.
Great.
I was using that.
Do you still have the stamper?
Yeah. And I was using it for like all of our little, like every single little thing that could have been personalized was personalized.
But that's amazing. And that's so you.
I was psycho.
You loved it. You weren't psycho.
I loved it.
The only time you were a little psycho is when I went up to the DJ and requested a song. And you had had all your music planned out and I didn't know that. And so she comes up, bride, just like... no, white. And I was like, okay.
They were trying to request like a modern song. And these were like these throwback DJs that have a night. They're like from Nashville. They had a night in Atlanta and it was called the Basement Party. And all they played was like 50s, 60s, like fun.
And I didn't
so
know
much
that.
Fun.
And she's requesting like Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, and I was like, stop right there. Don't listen to her.
She's like, she sees her from across the room, laser eyed.
No.
Okay, in that vein, we've got time for one more question.
You want to do another one? Do you have one?
Like, I got one.
Okay, go.
This is the leeway. The transition. Sorry.
It's all right. I've said so many sentences.
No,
this
there's
podcast,
also been
no
so
sense.
Many dumb things I've said. People are going to realize that I'm not that smart.
That
okay,
we're illiterate?
So my fiance and I can't decide the music for the wedding. Any suggestions? And I actually wrote back to this one and gave them some advice already, but let's keep going.
What did you say?
I said, I've found that really, I've been invited to quite a few weddings, and I really appreciate when on the invite or the RSVP, there's the please pick one song and write it down that you want to hear at the wedding. I enjoy that because especially if you're doing your own playlist or the DJ is asking you, like, you know what people want to hear, and that's the guests. As a guest, you're like, I feel heard.
I'll take it one step further. Our friends of ours that just got married a few mm-hmm. weeks ago asked everyone, those that were married, what their wedding song was. And they played the wedding song during their each couple at the entire wedding's song during dinner. And when it was your song,
you got up and danced.
I'm not even romantic and my eyes are watering. What is
amazing.
This feeling?
Thoughtful.
It was amazing.
That's amazing.
And what she said was we wanted to celebrate not just our love, but everyone's love.
Oh, God.
Oh. I can't. Right?
That's beautiful.
You know, it's snap that's wins.
That's so good.
Snaps. Anybody else?
I mean, I just think if you're not sold on the music or don't know what you want to do, just then research the hell out of a great DJ. Because I had friends who got married this past year. My friend Amy, my friends Amy and Bradley, and they did the opposite where they made their entire playlist. They even did the transitions, and the DJ just pressed play. And at first I was like, that's a little crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be able to request some Rihanna when I feel like it, when the tequila hits. But it was the best reception I had ever been to because
that's saying a lot from coming from you, Kevin.
The wedding passed so quickly.
King on the dance floor.
The reception passed by so quickly because I didn't leave the dance floor.
I believe that.
Nobody left the dance floor, not for one song.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Did you split your pants?
I didn't.
Ugh, damn it.
How many times have you split them?
Quite a few.
Quite a few. 5 to 10.
5 to 10, 15.
Because, you know, I want like a really tight suit, but when I got to get low on the dance floor, it just like.
Yeah, I mean, from the windows to the walls.
That's
right.
Yep.
You got to get low.
I mean, for Becca's wedding, I actually did go up, and I planned ahead. I had like these dress slash like sweatpants.
Amazing.
And I went upstairs to like change. I'm like, I got to get some more room in here.
That is wardrobe change.
Yeah, so
I appreciate
that. Yeah, get real loose on the dance floor.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, but I did it really subtly because everyone was like pretty drunk. I'm like, I'm just going to tiptoe away now.
I love that that's – I always love when someone has like a wedding thing. I have a friend in Atlanta, Jessica, and at her wedding, I didn't realize that there was an actual bet going on of at what time in the evening she would end up doing a handstand or a cartwheel in her wedding dress.
Stop.
And it like everyone had money on it, and then she did it, and everyone was like, 11:59.
So good.
Like, yes. And
that's
I was like,
good.
What? And she's like, really yeah, it was a college thing. I'd always like end up like like upside down at some point in the evening.
Undergarment wise, was she prepared for this?
She didn't really matter. Like, yeah, she's pretty open.
Great.
She was just like,
literally.
You know, yeah, she's very open. I mean, she had undergarments on, but yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, you have a fellow comrade out there who loves to.
Well, ladies, thank you for your expertise. We appreciate you
as actual
sharing,
married people.
Actually having some real experience. That's always great and helpful for us. So thank you so much. And that's it. Thanks for indulging us again, you guys.
Come back next week if you feel like it.
Yeah. See ya.
Tell us when and where. Bye, guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Showmance with us. And get new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude. And make sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a nice rating and a 5-star review, of course. And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.